You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt Podcast from William Hill. Plenty to look forward to this midweek as well, with the playoffs in the Champions League and the Europa League. We've also got Football League action as well in a shape of a full programme, pretty much in the Championship on Tuesday night. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me on this first midweek edition of the Punt Podcast for the season is Mr. Lee Phelps. Hi, Lee.
I'm good. I'm hoping that I can replicate the podcast that we did about 2 hours ago that didn't save.
Yeah.
This is our second stab at this, everyone. We did a full podcast and I think we both left the studio without saying anything, thinking, that was good, that.
I was nodding
to
myself.
Like, yeah, it was good, that. And then Mark came out of the studio going, you're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. None of it recorded.
Yeah.
All them great bets. Well, if I can't remember some of those great bets, just the asides that you mentioned.
This is going to be that big money transfer that never quite lives up to the big fee.
Yeah. But thanks for having me along.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm. It's the Champions League playoff, so you're getting the youth player, the B team player, out of the way first. Give him a little bit of a run. See how he gets on. And if he's no good, we'll get the big guns in next week for the second leg.
Yeah, drafting in the reserves for the midweek fixture. Yeah.
Tom Kerwin, who was a mainstay on the Punt Weekend Edition last year, will be bringing us his footballing expertise and betting expertise on the midweek edition after this week. So yeah. It's 1 week only for me. Leeds United commentator, so watches all the Championship teams, knows a lot about the Football League, obviously knows about the Premier League and the Champions League as well, Europa League, so that should be good every week from after this week. So you've only got to put with my tips 1 week and then you clear and dry for the rest of the season.
They'll be
basically
clambering for Tom Kerwin on the back of this.
Yep.
I think
it's clamouring. Well, you could clamber, well, you could clamber on him as well.
Made a word up just to, that's how desperate they're going to be.
Clambering's a word. It's just that you'd be climbing all over him.
That's what. Yeah.
Oh, that's what you meant. Yeah. Clambering over him, clambering for him. They were clambering over him to clamber for him.
They'll be clambering over you and many large obstacles to get to Tom Kerwin. Is the point I'm trying to make? The first podcast was definitely better.
Not as funny as this, though.
Good to have football back, isn't it, of course? Premier League return this weekend. We've had the Football League back for a few weeks. Interesting first weekend in the Premier League as well. Liverpool showed that they could still score goals, also very vulnerable at set pieces still. Manchester United looked incredible compared to what we expected from them. Man City looked like they're going to cause teams all kinds of problems. Chelsea, on the other hand, got beat by Burnley. So quite an interesting first weekend.
Yes, it's when you look at the kind of the fixture list... from the weekend, all the results, you've got, it's interesting how it looks, because you've got what you just described there, Arsenal susceptible at the back, great game, and going forward at times they look sensational.
Yep.
Lacazette obviously starting off the season great, and a lot of people probably landing. Robbie had that bet, didn't he? Lacazette to score and Arsenal to win, enhanced about 13-8, so it was a nice way to start the season. Four means more, landing over plays, and you had Watford 3, Liverpool 3. Liverpool just defensively looked just so open, you know, and I think, you know, they score a goal, they go on down, they score the equaliser, they look all like pleased themselves, patting each other on the back, get down the other end and concede again. Chelsea, the next game in the results is Chelsea 2, Burnley 3. I mean, surely when Chelsea go down to 10 men, which obviously no one can, you know, cater for, you just shut up shop and get the job done. No, they concede 3 goals. And then you look at the last 3 fixtures in the results. Brighton 0, Man City 2, Newcastle 0, Tottenham 2, Manchester United 4, West Ham 0. You know, that's going away from home, getting the job done for those from City and Tottenham. And I think that nil for City is a massive thing. You know, getting a clean sheet to start your season off. It's going to be really interesting to see how many points they pick up from the investment in their defence, because they need to make up a lot of ground on Chelsea from last season. and they've made up 3 points already. Tottenham starting off pretty much as they, you know, as they left off really, aren't they? You know, a very solid team with quality players. And I think Man United were the surprise package. You know, I think, you know, I listened to the podcast from the weekend, and Derek McGovern and Andy XL, the William Hill trading manager, they were talking about Man United being a dour team this season, and, you know, Mourinho, his kind of style rubbing off on them. Well, you know, 4 goals, and Lukaku looks the business, doesn't he, as we know. He's got, surrounded by the likes of Martial and Rashford. Pogba got on the score sheet. Mkhitaryan's obviously a quality player. Mata, you know, you could go on and on. Mm. It's going to be really interesting. I think a lot of people predicting that, you know, the Manchester clubs, all the title will end up in Manchester. And you could see kind of why after this weekend. Great to see Huddersfield sandwiched between them there, though. The I know from a Leeds, you're a Leeds fan, but, you know, from a Yorkshire point of view, where we're based. Great start for them, Huddersfield Town. Going to Palace. Again, you know, on the punt, people, you know, DK was saying on the punt, and I tended to agree with him, Palace, great price at home. Look at Huddersfield going there and smashing them 3-0.
Yeah.
3-0.
I know. It's.
I mean, if you're looking for 37 points, Mark, that's a massive win. That's a massive way to start you off, isn't it?
Huge.
Chalking off some
huge
of that, you know. Jeez, it's unbelievable, really.
Just that top end of the Premier League, just terrible. Manchester United followed by Huddersfield Town. Oh, no.
From a Leeds club, yeah. You just need Bradford in third.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not in the Premier League,
are they? That would be when I stop watching the Premier League. Yeah. No, I think with Manchester United as well, just want to go to the signing of Nemanja Matic. I kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit when he brought him in. Mourinho's had him before, of course, knows the kind of player he is. But I thought, wasn't all that good for Chelsea last year. Izzy passed it a little bit. He came in, shored up that middle, allowed Pogba to run on past him. He'll allow the players like Rashford and Mata, if he plays, and Mkhitaryan, all to run off him. He'll kind of control the middle and give them a bit of freedom going forward, which is going to aid Lukaku. If that continues to pick up as it looked like it will do at the weekend, then Mourinho may have just played another masterclass.
Yeah, a man once of this podcast, Big Ron Atkinson, always used to say that a manager should never make a mistake with a player that he's had before.
Yes.
So, and it's, I think I thought of that when that signing came through, I thought, he knows him, you know. Same with Lukaku in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people were saying, oh, he didn't like Lukaku. He never said that. I remember when Mourinho commented on Lukaku back then, when he sold him before, when he let him go, because he was a young lad. I think he just said he wants first team football. I can't give him that right now, so I'm going to let him go. He's got him back eventually. You know, he's playing the long game.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. The other thing I thought was interesting as well, which is no massive surprise, but same if you're a goal scorer, punter, same old faces, really, isn't it? You know, your Vardy's back in there scoring goals. Obviously, Lukaku, you know, cracking goal scorer. Aguero scoring for Man City. The fact that Kane didn't score for Tottenham probably would have let a few bets down, but Ali obviously in there as well.
Not if you follow the traditional Harry Kane stat.
He didn't start very well, does he?
He's never scored a Premier League goal in August, ever.
Nice. That's a good stat.
So don't side with him for the next few weeks.
I might not be able to improve on that stat today. That's good.
Okay. Who wins the Premier League after the first weekend?
Manchester. Manchester wins it. It's a tough one, that, Mark, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough.
City still win it, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not that tough.
Yeah, I think the only thing is that, and we talked about this on the practice podcast that we did, is that there's a lot of ground to make up. You know, you've got to look at the league table from last year. Chelsea haven't strengthened massively, but they haven't become a worse team overnight than they were. Look, they got 93 points last year. Let's say they dropped 6 points. They've already dropped 3. So, you know, let's say they dropped 6. They're 6 points worse than they were last year. That takes them down to 87 points. They still beat everyone in last year's table. So Tottenham have to improve. Manchester City have to improve a lot. They were set on 78 at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That's a long way off. That's 15 points off Chelsea. Manchester United won 69. Yeah, that's a long way off, isn't it? That's 24 points they've got to improve. You know, even if there's a bit of a swing and Chelsea, you know, they're not as good. Even if they finish 6 points worse off, Man United have still got to improve by 18 points. So there's a long way to go. I don't think you can automatically say Chelsea don't win it. But yeah, look, I can see why people like Man City. But that whole Mourinho stat about him winning in the second season for all his clubs,
yeah.
If he doesn't do that, I think one of our FWA guests was making this point. If he doesn't win in his second season, part of the Mourinho mystique has gone. So there's a lot of pressure on him to make sure he does deliver this season.
Yeah, I suppose.
So it won't make you very happy, but I'm going to go for Mourinho to work his magic and win the Premier League.
One thing that they raised on Match of the Day 2 last night, which is quite interesting the way they went at it, average tally for points to win the Premier League is around about 87 points.
Yeah.
Manchester United last year, you mentioned 69 points.
Yeah.
Mourinho, general improvement from his first season at a club to his second, is around about 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to fall short.
Yeah, yeah. But they had such a poor season, but there were so many draws last year. I think what he's done is he's invested in players who can turn draws into wins.
Yeah.
So that they drew more games in a season than I think ever before, or something like that, wasn't there? Was some
did that run down on home where it's crazy. Home where they was drawing.
But I mean, look, you look at the prices. You know, from we were just talking then about who's going to win it. Obviously, we talk from a betting point of view. I couldn't be backing Man United 11-4.
No,
I think Chelsea are the bet there at 6-1. You know, have they become that much worse that they're third favourites in the market? I don't think so.
I suppose it's the Costa element where he doesn't look like he's going to play, is he?
No.
But he added a lot to them when he played last year.
Well, Maratta scored on debut. Will he add more?
It's more than the goals, though, isn't it, with Costa?
Yeah, true.
Because he puts himself around, he's a nuisance, he gets defenders wound up.
But Chelsea 6-1, I'd probably taken it from a betting point of view, but I think Man United will go very close.
Mm. So that's Premier League predictions after week one. Nice and easy to figure out after week
one. I'm not coming back again. So
right, okay. But if it works, you can record this
and load it out
at the end of the season.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah. Let's move on to the midweek action then. Champions League playoffs, and Hoffenheim against Liverpool is the first game that we're going to look at. It's on Tuesday night at 7:45 p.m. Hoffenheim are 2-1. The draw is 12-5. Liverpool are 13-10 in the market. It's fourth place in the Bundesliga last season, taking on last year's fourth place from the Premier League.
Mm.
What do you make of it?
I think it's a tough ask for Liverpool going there and winning in the first leg. I think they'll be pretty happy to go there and go back to Anfield with a draw. Hoffenheim, it's their bow in the Champions League, so I think it's going to be rocking at the Rhein-Neckar Arena in Sinsheim. We know that the German football is pretty good anyway, you know, in terms of the crowds. We know that the lauded as being the place where you'd want to go and watch your football. Everyone who goes on a stag do to Germany and goes and watches a bit of football, they always come back down and they go, oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like it used to be in England.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, you know, you can well see them being very up for this. You know, add to that the fact that they had an unbeaten home record last season. And, you know, I think Liverpool have got it all on to go there and win. I don't even know if they'd be expecting to win. The prices don't particularly, you know, lend themselves to making you think that they're going to win. It's a pretty open game, isn't it? Liverpool 13-10, the favourites in the match. 2-1 Hoffenheim, 12-5 the draw. Well, I think the 12-5 the draw is probably the one that stands out most to me there. I can't really back in Liverpool, given that Hoffenheim's home record is that good. The fact that they'll be confident, the fact that the fans will be in buoyant mood. Liverpool, you're never quite sure what you're going to get with them, as they proved at Watford. You know, they could go there, shut up shop and win 2-0. You'd be like, all right, yeah, cheers. But they don't give you enough, I don't think, to back them at 13-10. So the draw does stand out to me. Hoffenheim, in that home run, they do score goals as well. I mean, a lot of the teams they beat well last season in the Bundesliga are the lower level teams, you know, but they do score goals. And, you know, and so I think there are goals in this game. So the draw on both teams to score would be my number one bet here at 3-1. I think that's got every chance. Interesting, one of the enhanced odds prices here is Andre Kramaric to score and Hoffenheim to win. That was 7-2, now 4-1. Now, obviously, I don't fancy the Hoffenheim to win bit necessarily.
Yeah.
But Kramaric is a player who was instrumental for them last season, scored 15 goals. He's 6-4 to score anytime, 5-1 to score first. You could kind of see this game, given that Watford opened the scoring against Liverpool. You know, you could see maybe Hoffenheim on the crest of a wave, you know, buoyed by that crowd, maybe opening the scoring and Liverpool pegging them back. So Kramaric to score first at 5-1, maybe not the worst bet in the world. But yeah, I think it's going to be a 1-1. I think Liverpool will be happy with that. They'll get back to Anfield and then they've got a chance of doing the job there. Because, you know, when they pulled Hoffenheim out of the draw, you know, I don't think they'd have been disappointed. You're not kind of going, oh my God, it's Hoffenheim. You know, but I think it'll be a tougher first leg than maybe some of the Liverpool fans first thought it would have been. Loads of hashtag your odds on there, by the way.
Yeah.
Already. I was just looking at some of the bigger price ones. Kramaric to score over four cards, each team over three corners, 13-2.
I don't mind that.
That's not a bad one, is it?
No.
Over four cards. I also think Liverpool will be a lot more steady. You know, you don't concede three goals in your first game and then your manager just lets you. Yeah, do that again, lads. Just be open again. It's fine. I think there'll be a lot cagier. You know, you made a point in our first effort at this podcast about Liverpool desperate for Champions League football.
Yes.
You don't go and suddenly fritter it away on a whim.
No, their whole season in the end came down to finishing in the top four and getting Champions League football. It's huge that they've got back into the competition. They can sign the better players and all that rigmarole that goes with it. To then throw it away at the first obstacle would be an absolute disaster. And then if Coutinho goes as well, they're taking a step back on what they did last year rather than forward.
Exactly. Yeah, completely agree. So I think Liverpool probably the better team on balance if it was played on neutral ground. Hoffenheim with that home support and the first time in the Champions League and that unbeaten home record probably just levels things out enough for me to go for that. Both teams to score in the draw.
Yeah, both teams scored just on its own, by the way, 4-7. Anybody having an acca, I think that could be banker material or one of those you'd expect to land, given Liverpool's repeated problems at the back and the fact that Hoffenheim are very good at home. Right, before we move on to the rest of the Champions League and Europa League action this midweek, we've got action in the Championship this midweek as well, and we can get a treble from Mr. Alex Dunn.
Isn't it great when the football season is back and no sooner have you recovered from the weekend exploits that you've got to go again on the Tuesday? It can be pretty energy sapping for the teams that are down there, but at the same time, as a fan, it really is a great opportunity to continue watching the action. We've gone for so long without anything, and now it's all coming at once. I'm just going to offer up a little acca on Tuesday evening in the Championship. Now, there's plenty of ways to attack the Championship, and I know that over 1.5 through the card is something that will appeal to many, and it indeed does appeal to myself a little bit, so that's something that you could look at. But I'm just going to go for outright, put a little acca together, and we start with Derby. They're at home to Preston. Derby are 4-5 in this market, and having watched Derby on the opening day of the season away at Sunderland, I was actually a little underwhelmed by what I saw. I thought they were average, nothing more. I think when they get chances, they will score goals, but it was creating the chances that was the problem. And then they lost at home to Wolves. Now, I don't think that's a bad result. Wolves are a side who I would expect to be there at the end of the league at the top, and they're a side who I've been really impressed with what I've seen from them so far. So you can't read too much into that. This is the easiest assignment Derby have had so far this season. That goes without saying. And the fact you come at them at 4-5 is okay, nothing more, but they will form leg one of this accumulator. Leg number two is Birmingham. This is a potentially quite risky one. It's the same price. It's also 4-5. They're on to Bolton. Bolton, aside who on the opening day against Leeds were pretty disappointing, it has to be said. Defensively, they looked pretty weak, and then they've gone and drawn away at Millwall. Bolton are the kind of side that if they are going to be staying up this season, they need to be getting something from this game. Birmingham followed up a defeat at Ipswich with a win at home to Bristol City. They battled back, having gone behind early on in that one. And with Harry Redknapp in charge, there may be stuff going on behind the scenes, but on the pitch, you know that particularly at home, he makes his teams very hard to beat, and I think Birmingham at 4-5, I think they'll get the job done against Bolton. So that is leg number two. Leg number three is Middlesbrough. Now, they come up against Burton. They're 2-5. It's fairly unimaginative, that's fair to say. Middlesbrough lost to Wolves on the opening of the season. We've already said that form doesn't look too bad. And then they went and beat Sheffield United at home. Now, that was the Saturday tea time game. They weren't superb in that game by any means, and will need to improve on that through the course of the season. But these two games, so the Sheffield United game and now at home to Burton, are a good opportunity, because as long as they win and they get what will end up being 6 points on the board, hopefully, there's sort of nothing to lose for them, because they can try all their new players, they can try different systems, be going with playing three up front and a proper three up front as well. So it's certainly something to take note of, and Burton have not started the season particularly well at all. They were tipped to struggle last year and actually overachieved, but they lost at home to Cardiff, and then they followed it up with a bit of a pasting at Hull on Saturday. So Middlesbrough at 2-5, it's 2-5. It is what it is. It's not knockout value, but it'll do for this acca. Leg number four of the acca, and the final leg, is Leeds. They're at home to Fulham, and they're the one that really boosts the price of this acca up. Now, Leeds are 7-5. The draw 9-4, and Fulham are 17-10. Two sides who, of course, last season had very, very strong seasons. Leeds, who started really well and just sort of petered out in the end and failed to make the playoffs. Fulham, almost the opposite. But Fulham have started this season with two draws, at home to Norwich and away to Reading. That draw at Reading is a very good one. not least because they were down to 10 men for almost all of the game. Thomas Callas sent off inside the first minute. So the fact that they've battled to a point there is commendable. I don't think, personally, that Fulham are going to go and... I don't think they'll go up, I'll say that much. But they are entitled to be in their pitching, and from what we've seen of them so far, they've got every chance. And another draw could be on the cards here, because for all that Leeds were good at Bolton, they did let two goals in on the opening day. They did win 3-2 on that occasion. They followed that up with a 0-0 draw at home to Preston on Saturday. And I think this will be a low-scoring affair once again. But I just think Leeds have got enough at home to get them over the line. I think it'll be 1-0, to be honest. And I would consider taking that as a single bet on the correct goal score as well. But I just think Leeds, 7-5... there's just enough value there for me to want to get involved. Fulham are a side who, obviously, it was well documented when they're in the Premier League, their away form was pretty shocking. Of late, the new reincarnated Fulham, if you like, are very good on the break because of the amount of pace that they have in their side. But I think Leeds can nullify that. So there's a fourfold for you. Derby at 4-5, Birmingham 4-5, Middlesbrough 2-5, and Leeds 7-5 comes in at just shy of 10-1. Certainly worse ways to put a quid on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. That's Alex Dunn's fourfold then for the Championship. I think I promised you a treble, and you've got a fourfold, so even more value for you there in that particular Championship acca. Good man, he's gone for Leeds as well. I hope he's correct. That's the Championship action then on this edition of The Punt, the midweek edition of The Punt. We'll be back to the Champions League, and we're looking ahead to the Wednesday night match next. And that's the Celtic take on Astana. Celtic 2-5, the draw 100-30. Astana 15-2. Celtic, the Scottish champions. They've started the season pretty well as well. And they take on Astana, who are the Kazakhstan champions, and already played plenty of games coming into this league. So they'll have fitness on their side, if nothing else.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, 23 games into the Kazakhstan Premier League season. They sit top of that table as well by 7 points. So they'll be doing the same thing again this year. But, you know, look, you know, without being too disrespectful to Kazakhstani football, I would still rank the Scottish Premier League above it. Celtic at home is obviously a tough ask as well. We know that they've had a great record at home in the Champions League, you know, in past seasons. You know, I do lose at home, you know, these days, but you know, it's few and far between, and they're usually against the better teams. You know, the last time they lost to a lesser team was Maribor back in 2014. You know, lost to Barcelona in 2016, and Borussia Mönchengladbach as well. But yeah, they usually get the job done. They beat Astana in the, I think it was the third qualifying round last season, 2-1 at home. Went away and drew 1-1. But I think this is a better Celtic team than then. Similar players, but they've had a season of just domination, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've had an unbelievable season where they've won everything they could possibly win. And I just think that confidence that they would have gained from that with a season under the belt, under the manager. Astana, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're a different team to what they were. I don't know too much about Astana, but I don't think their level has changed too much. You know, the level in their domestic division is exactly what it was this time last season. You know, they're champions, they'll be champions again. I think Celtic are the better side. They're pretty short though, you know, the 2-5, and it's not that not my kind of price. So I'll be looking at how I can get a bit more value out of this. Now, if they beat them 2-1 last year, and I think Celtic are a better side this year, I think they can beat them at least as well as that. I'd be looking at either 3-0 or 3-1 if Astana can get a goal on the board. Now, that match result on both teams to score Celtic landed last year, and that's 11-4 this time round. I won't quite go that, because Astana might not get on the score sheet, but I think Celtic can score 3. So I think Celtic to win in over 2.5 goals is the safer bet for me. 6-5 looks a decent one. I mean, you could look at, you know, if you want to go a bit braver than that, you can maybe look at, you know, the number of Celtic goals. That might be a way of looking at it. You know, 3 goals for Celtic is 19-5. You look at Celtic over 2.5 goals is 2-1. If you think I'm right and they will score 3, then that's worth a look. Fresh in their minds still from last year will be that they went over there and only drew 1-1. Mm. So they might not be expecting an easy trip over to Kazakhstan. So they might want to get the job done here. So, yeah, that's not bad. I think for safety, though, I'll go Celtic to win over 2.5 goals. But that Celtic over 2.5 in the match is 2-1, quite like that.
I think that's a very fair point that you just raised there as well. I think Brendan Rodgers will be looking at this thinking, look, we know what they're capable of in Kazakhstan. It's obviously a lot of travel. It's a hard place to go, and it's not going to be plain sailing for them. No. So let's just go out there in front of a home crowd, get the job done, make it sure we can't possibly slip up in the second league.
And he'd expect, you know, all his chat will be about improving, won't it? And they played them last year. Mm. You beat them 2-1, lads. Let's go one better than that. Let's keep a clean sheet and let's score a few more goals.
Yeah.
You know, it seems pretty obvious. Whether that happens, obviously, it'd be nice if betting worked like that, wouldn't it? I think the manager's going to say, I've never been a manager in my life, nor have I played professional football. And then he goes and does it. That'd be great. I'd be like a guru then, wouldn't I?
You would. The ambassador of winners you once called yourself, I think. That'd be living Jesus. Up to that tag.
Did I?
Oh my God. Rather embarrassing, yes, you did, yeah.
Well.
Let's talk about potential goal scorers as well.
Midweek maestro as well.
Oh, yeah. DK called himself a maverick, and, you know, all these things come out on it.
He's far from a maverick, isn't he? He's like the polar opposite of a maverick.
There's a show on Sky Sports at the moment called Football Mavericks, and I was waiting for DK to pop up with his betting advice.
He used to put betting expert on his Twitter account, didn't he?
Did he? Scott Sinclair to score in Celtic to win has been enhanced. That was 11-8, that's now 13-8. But I was looking at a different goal scorer when I had a little bit of a prep run at this. Lee Griffiths scored plenty of goals already this season, seems to have started the season well. He's even money to score any time, and for him to score in a Celtic win, I don't think that's a bad price there at 23-20. So one of those angles,
I like it.
Anything like that?
I think that Griffiths one's an absolute belter. Looking at that even money price, I think he'd be odds on to score if this was an SPFL match.
Yeah.
That's nice. He's already. You look at the games he's played. Didn't score against Partick. League Cup against Kilmarnock, he got a brace. He got two against Hearts as well. You know, he's in good nick. He's obviously scored in that World Cup qualifier, didn't he? In the summer against England as well. So no, I think that's a decent shout. That right. What I tell you, what I wouldn't mind though, is pairing those two up. There are no your odds markets on this game yet. But if you could, I think Celtic to win. With Sinclair and Griffith scoring the goals, won't be a massive price, but I wouldn't mind tweeting that one into @WilliamHill with the hashtag Your Odds and see what they come back with. I might even do it.
Yeah.
Can't back it because I work for William Hill, but you know I could still ask for it, couldn't I? See what it comes back as.
Yeah,
might do that. But you're right. I think if they're going to be goals, it's a fair chance Sinclair and Griffiths are going to be in on the act, and I think they're both reasonable prices for an anytime poke. 11-8 Sinclair, even money Griffiths.
Mm.
Is it, I mean, I wonder if there's a have we got this scorers and match spread? We've got them both to score. Let's have a look. Yeah. Come on. Anytime goal scorer betting? No, that's not all.
We used to have a couple, didn't we?
Yeah, I think
do we still do that?
So many markets, aren't there? Lee, oh, here we go. 15-4 Griffiths and Sinclair to score anytime. Well, to be fair, the your odds price won't be a lot bigger than that because it's obviously related. The fact that if they both score, it's chance Celtic are going to win. So that's pretty much your bet, isn't it? 15-4 Griffiths and Sinclair to score.
Yeah. But anybody who does want to do that, hashtag your odds to @WillEHill.
You don't have to put a gap in it.
Leave that in. That's what happens when you almost say at Will Hill Bet. That's what that is. But yeah, hashtag your odds to
I wondered if you'd come up with a clever audio way of giving people an underscore. Will eat am. Brilliant.
At William Hill. Hashtag your odds. Please send it to them. Will I am's going to get a lot of tweets now with hashtag your odds on him. Anyway, so that's the Celtic game. Expecting them to win relatively comfortably and get the better of Astana in that first leg of their UEFA Champions League playoff. And we move on to the Europa League next. Everton in action from a Premier League standpoint. Everton taking on Hajduk Split. Everton 2-9, the draw 9-2. Hajduk Split are 10-1. Everton finished 7th in the Premier League last season. They've spent a lot of money in the summer. They look a fairly useful outfit. They look very solid, but they've only just been doing enough in the Europa League so far. Do you think it'll be similar this time?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, they're priced up like really good things, aren't they? 2-9 Everton, the draw 9-2, and Hajduk Split 10-1. I mean, it's a bit short for me that with Everton, but as you say, you know, they've got the job done in both their Europa League games at home and away against Rosenborg. Beat them 1-0 in both legs, and then beat Stoke 1-0. At the weekend, you know, there's a bit of a pattern emerging here, isn't there? The win to nil looks decent here, I think, against this Hajduk Split team. I think that, you know, that they're 5 games into their season in Croatia, not pulling up any Trees in particular. Second in the table, though, with 10 points already. So, you know, they're doing all right. The one thing, you wouldn't say they're a fantastic away team, even at home. They drew 0-0 away against Bromby. Beat Levski Sofia away from home, though, in a previous round of the Europa League. So they've got a few games under the belt. Left it late against Levski Sofia. We're losing until with 10 minutes to go, and then managed to turn it round with an incredible last 10 minutes for them. But I'd expect Everton to be the better team here. You know, Rooney's performance at the weekend was just, we talked about it earlier on, didn't we, in our first podcast that we did, that never see the light of day, back from our 40 years. Just looked like he'd rolled the ears back.
He looked very good, didn't he?
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
good to see, actually. You know, because, like, you know, I think even, you know, I know, you know, you're not the most ardent Manchester United fans. In fact, you dislike them intensely. but Rooney's one of them players, I think. From, you know,
Rooney transcended Man United for me. Yeah. I could respect Rooney.
Yeah,
I actually felt bad that he got a lot of flack when he was at the club. Because
now he's at Everton, it's like brilliant.
Yeah, I want to see him do well again. Yeah. And the way he turned up at the weekend, he was the hungry Rooney, the Rooney that wants the ball.
He's always
feet.
Been hungry. Fair,
deliberate choice of that word, perhaps. He wanted the ball into feet. He was turning. He was pinging these 30-yard balls. He looked sharp. He looked good. And the brain never goes, does it? And the question was whether his legs and his body had let him down. But on that evidence, I don't think it has.
No, I mean, it'd be unlikely that he starts against Hajduk Split, wouldn't it, on a Thursday night in the Europa League. They've got Man City away on Monday night. So, you know, the manager might think, well, that's enough time for him to recover. Rooney will want to play every game.
Yeah.
Guarantee that, can't you? But, you know, it's debatable. Obviously, we're recording this on a Monday. If this one doesn't save, we'll be recording it on Tuesday, probably. Look, team news is everything. I think if Rooney plays, then you've got to be involved in him somehow, because I think he'll be really keen for this. He's 17 to 20 to score. But one player I was looking at, if Rooney doesn't play, who scored in that away game against Rosenborg, is Calvert-Lewin. Scored the only goal in that game. He's priced up at 7-4 on this market, which I think if he's involved, I don't think that's the worst price in the world. But my main bet in this game, and it's a little bit skinny, is Everton to win 2-0. It's not going to make you rich on its own, but I think if you're looking at these Europa League fixtures on Thursday night, and lots of them, how many?
3-4.
3-4. Yeah. I thought you were telling me how many fixtures there were.
Oh no,
yeah,
sorry.
3-4 the price. Yeah, for that win 2-0. I think that's one that you could put in a treble. I think they'll get the job done here, Everton. 1-2-0, but I don't want to go away from what the manager's got on a nice little run here. He won't be worried about beating teams 1-0.
No,
get the job done. So I think, I think Everton to win 2-0 for me.
Yeah, Everton to win another 2.5 goals as well. 2-1 for that bet. You got 1-0 and 2-0 on your side if they do
nice.
Shut their opponents out.
I like that better than my bet. Either one of them. Take either one of them.
Yeah. If they play that defence that we've seen to good effect so far as well. I mean, Pickford looks an inspired signing. Paid a lot of money for him, of course.
Yeah.
But he looks like a real talented goalkeeper. Jagielka's rock solid. Leighton Baines is one of the best left backs in the country. Michael Keane's a very good addition. Williams as well. I think they're very solid at the back, and you can see why they've been keeping the clean sheets. And no disrespect to Hajduk Split, I don't think they're good enough to come and get on the score sheet.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Everton should do this comfortably, I think.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Lee. Do you have a favourite bet in all of that?
Yeah, I like that Celtic to win in over 2.5 goals at 6-5.
Yeah, looks good. Looks good indeed. Well, thank you, Lee. Good luck
pleasure.
And enjoy it this week.
Thanks.
There you go, the thoughts of Lee Phelps. Swift exit as usual. He's out of the studio, and the punt will be back at the weekend. The weekend edition will be back Friday. It'll be out by Friday, so make sure you tune in for that with all of the Premier League action coming up. But in terms of the midweek stuff, good luck if you're having a bet, and enjoy the action in the Europa League, the Champions League, and the Championship this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.